Morning. Thank you guys for being here today. Thank you everyone that's watching online. Hey, before we get started, I just want to personally invite every single one of you to come back tonight at 5 o'clock to our Spaghetti and Sweets dessert auction for our students. It's going to be an awesome time as they get prepared and they raise funds to be able to go to Falls Creek for student camp. And so if you're bringing dessert, I got to finish the sermon real quick so I can get home and make my dessert. Okay. I still got a lot of baking to do, bring it back by 3 o'clock and it starts at 5 o'clock tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a live auctioneer. We got silent auction stuff. Things for kids and for everybody. So come and be a part of that. It's going to be around here in our venue. It's going to be a fantastic and awesome time to be together. And so, hey, I want to start off today by asking this question. How smart is your home? How smart is your home? I'm not talking about your IQ, okay? All right? So I'm not talking about your IQ. How smart is your home with, like, technology? Think about this. Like, life has changed dramatically. My mother was telling me a story recently about when she went to visit her grandmother back in West Texas, kind of out in the country. They lived on a farm, and they had a party line. Anybody know what a party line is? Y'all remember some of those? Okay, you guys up front, y'all have any idea what a party line is, okay? Party line was where multiple families had the same number, okay? And so someone wanted to call. You would call, got the operator. They'd like to talk to the Smith family, and so they would send it down the party line, and if you could answer someone else's phone, and they would say, I'm trying to get a hold of the Smith family. Like, all right, I'm sorry, and so you hang up, but you really wouldn't hang up, right? You pretend like you hang up, like, click, right? And then you just listen in on all their gossip, okay? That's kind of what would happen back in the day. I remember when my sister and I, as teenagers, we got the kids' phone line. Y'all remember that, anybody? I mean, I still remember when we got that. You would actually open up the phone book. Y'all still don't know what a phone book is. Okay, so we had a phone book, and you'd open it up. You'd look and find my parents' name, and then underneath that, it would say kids' line. And I still remember it, 915-367-0020. Okay, that's the phone number. I don't know why I still remember that. Y'all call it, see if anybody answers. That'd be kind of crazy. But man, we had our own line. It was awesome. That's how our friends would be able to call us. I remember growing up, going to my grandparents' house and having to be the remote for the TV, right? You had to go up there and turn the knob on the giant TV that weighed 8,000 pounds, you know, has got the wood panel and everything. It was a furniture piece, you know, it was a nice thing back in the day. And I was the remote. Now we got smart remotes. You don't have to touch a button, you just talk to it. I'd like to watch this show. I'd like for you to record this show, okay? I mean, it's amazing how things have changed over the years. We used to write letters to each other. Now we just text each other. Anybody have an intercom at their house that doesn't function anymore? You never use it? You know, you move in, you're like, man, I got this intercom. It's going to be fantastic. And you're like, I don't never use that. We don't use those anymore. We use things like Alexa, right, or Google Home or things like that. A while back, Mindy and Ryland, who both are on staff, and they're married, they're both on staff, they're in my office, we're having a meeting, and they're like, hold on, we got to talk to our kids. And so they started with their phones using the Alexa back at home, and they're like, hey kids, make sure you do your homework and do this. They were parenting from afar using Alexa. And I'm glad I didn't have that growing up, right? My parents get a hold of me all the time. It's just crazy how things have changed. Communication has changed. But let me say this, it's always been important, right? It's always been important. Even from the very beginning, communication and the words we spoke have been important. You see, God communicated with words, and he brought life into this world. Look what Psalms has to say about it. Psalm 33 says this, that the Lord, he merely spoke, okay? And the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. I mean, God was not like in his shop creating everything. He just spoke and everything came into existence. And that's what God does. God uses words to communicate life into creation. You know what? The enemy also uses words. But the enemy uses that not for good, but for evil. He's been doing that from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, look what he says. He says this to Adam and Eve. He says, did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? I mean, this phrase is the first doubt that creeps into humanity. And he's been saying that to every single one of us ever since. Did God really say? Is God really like that? and creating doubt in our minds. You see, the enemy, he uses words to bring death and destruction and doubt into people's lives. What's the point of that? The point is to say this. Words have power. They can produce life or they can produce death. And the truth this morning is that your words are the same. You know, it's been said that you are what you eat. But I'll say this. I think it's really you are what you say. The things that you say really speak about who you are. I mean, your words can be in one moment like a pat on someone's back and encouraging people. And like in the exact same next moment, it can be a knife in someone's back. And it might be even the same person, you know? And the people that are most affected by our words are our family. Not the people necessarily next to you or your coworkers or your friends, but it's your family. Those people that are most affected by the things you say and actually how you say it. And the great thing is the Bible has a lot to say about what we should say and what we should not say. In fact, I want to invite you to turn to the book of James, New Testament letter. James is the brother of Jesus, okay? He's the half-brother of Jesus. He grew up, he was the younger brother. Jesus was the older brother. He grew up, and he this is one of the most incredible things. James says, my older brother is Lord and Savior and Messiah, which is crazy that he would say that about his brother. But he says this, and James is one of the most practical books in all of the Bible. And so James has a lot to say about the things that we say and things that come out of our mouth. Here's what he says in James 1:19. He says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, so all of us, okay? You must all be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry. Most of us have probably heard that verse before or someone say that to us. We ought to be slow to speak. We should be careful. We should think about the things that we actually have to say. James said this because he knew what all the rest of the scriptures had to say about our words. Like Proverbs 18, look what Proverbs 18 says. It says that the tongue, okay, the things that we say, the tongue has the power of life and death. Is that not true? The tongue, the things that you say, has the power to bring life into someone or to bring death into their hopes and their dreams. And if that is true, then everything that we're going to talk about today, your family needs to hear. Every one of us needs to hear this. How you treat other people and the words that you say, it can bring life or it can kill the spirit inside of them. And James is like, you know, this is so important, we need to talk about it. And so flip over to James 3. We're going to spend the rest of our time there. James 3 is going to teach us so much about the words that we say, especially when it comes to our families. We're talking about fixing up our families. How we got, all of us have issues, all of us have problems. And so what is one of the most important things about how to fix ourselves? And it's to understand that the words we speak really do matter. James 3, here's what he says. Look, if we could control our tongues, we'd be perfect, okay? And could also control ourselves in every other way. Man, if we could control the things that come out of our mouths, life would be so much better. That's what he's saying. He says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. And even though the winds are really strong, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. He uses these illustrations to really make a big point. He uses the illustration of a bit in the mouth of a horse. When I think of that, I always think about the Kentucky Derby. Anybody ever been to the Kentucky Derby? I've never been. I watch it on TV. It's like the most boring 8 hours of television, getting prepared and ready for like a minute race, okay? And in that race, there are these little tiny men called jockeys, okay? The average jockey weighs 112 pounds. That is it. And they're on top of a 1,000-pound horse. And they have the ability, hanging on to the reins for dear life, with the reins are attached to the bit in the horse's mouth, and they're able to control this massive beast. That's what it's saying about the words we say. It can control not only our lives, but other people's lives. He goes on and says, hey, if you like water, if you're someone who lives on the coast, you might have seen giant ships moving around. and they are controlled by a small rudder. Do you know that the perfect size for a rudder is 1.5% the size of the actual ship? 1 to 2%. That's it. Just a tiny little rudder has this massive ability to turn these giant ships around. So what does it mean for us? Well, think about this. Your tongue, it weighs about 3 ounces. Some of y'all, maybe a little bit more, okay? Your tongue weighs about 3 ounces, okay? That's it. You notice your thumb weighs about 2 ounces. And we communicate with both of them, don't we? And when it comes to your tongue or your thumb, both of those things can outpunch their weight, can't they? They have incredible ability, like just like a little bit in the mouth of a horse or a little rudder to change your life and change other people's lives. Both those things communicate, I love you, I hate you, I believe in you, you're a disappointment, right? Same time, both those things have incredible power. In this passage in verses 2 through 5, what the Bible is saying is this, is that the direction of a life can turn on a word. Just a single word can steer someone's life like a bit in the mouth of a horse or like a rudder of a ship. It can change someone's life. It might change your life or it might change someone's life that you love. What it's saying is that your words have life-shaping power. And they can alter the course of your family. The people you say you love the most, the things that you say to them can change their life. Some of us have experienced that. When we were growing up, this is a good, awesome, I love this message because I remember growing up and experiencing encouragement with the words that were spoken to me by my parents. And some of y'all are kind of cringing right now because you're thinking about the words of condemnation that your parents spoke to you. And we've learned from them. And the truth is that a lot of times we carry that into our own families now. Whether it's spouses coming together and the things that you learned, how you communicated when you were growing up, comes to a collision course. And sometimes it's chaos at home because of the things that have been shared with you and what you've learned when you grew up. You know what the number one reason for divorce is in the United States? 68% of divorcees say that it's communication. Communication is one of the largest factors for divorce. It matters, right? And behind closed doors, our words can be like a wrecking ball to our homes, creating wounds, destroying things, where our house, when in reality, our relationships in our home kind of look like that sometimes. Let me do this little experiment. Look, if the things that you have said this week, all the things you said at home, all the things that you texted to your family, if those things were recorded and we hit play and listened to them, would you be proud? The truth is, I'd be terrified personally. The things that I've even said to my family. I've been thinking about this message all week, and I'm at home and I'm saying some things to my family that I am not proud of. It just happens, doesn't it? Would you be proud of the things that you have spoken and said to your family? Look, it's important. This is critical that we get this. If we want to fix what's going on at home, the words we say are so important. And James isn't done. He's going to go on and teach us some more. So look at verses 5 and 6. He gives us another example. He says, hey, look, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire, is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. And look what it says here. It says this, it can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. When I think about this, I think about the fire in Maui, Hawaii, the Lahaina fire last year. I don't know if y'all saw that on the news. And Lahaina is this community right on the beach. And they had 80-mile-an-hour winds coming from inland. And it knocked over a little power line. And that power line created a little spark and some grass. And that grass caught fire and grew. And it got worse and worse. It swept through the town with 80-mile-plus-mile-per-hour winds, faster than people could get out of the way. It destroyed 2,200 buildings $6 billion worth of damage. If you watched it on TV or on the internet, you probably saw people literally jumping into the Pacific Ocean to try to save their lives. 101 people died. It's all from a little spark. The spark sometimes becomes unstoppable. What this passage is saying is that your words, just like a spark, have no reverse. Is that not true? Like once you say it, you can't take it back. Your words can destroy way beyond your control. So let me ask this, have you said some things that have set someone's world on fire? Or have something's been said to you that have set your world on fire? It happens, doesn't it? And I say this, many of us, we're emotional and spiritual arsons. We're pyros. Anybody pyros in this room? Okay, right? Love fire. And we'll do that emotionally and spiritually. Like we'll light the match and throw it into someone's life and watch them burn, you know? Watch the world just burn up by the things that we say. We know that we're doing it. I mean, think about this. We're experts at gossip, aren't we? Gossiping about someone. We're experts at criticizing someone. We're great at verbal beatdowns to our spouse or to our kids because we're trying to prove a point or correct something. This is just our natural reaction of the way that we do things. You know, for me, one of the things that I feel like is one of my spiritual gifts is sarcasm. Anybody else? Okay. Sarcasm? Okay. It's not a spiritual gift, by the way. It's not in the Bible. But you know what sarcasm is if we're not careful? It's just hostility disguised as humor. Isn't it? It really, it's hostile, and we try to put humor in it to try to make it funny, but we're really making a point, aren't we? We're trying to say something about someone else. And when we speak, sometimes we can't take back what we say. I once heard it said that there are three things that you can't take back. One is time lost, opportunity missed, and words spoken. You can't take back what you say. And we've said some horrible things to our family. Think about some things that we've said to our kids. Why are you so stupid? You always screw things up. Why can't you be like your brother? What were you thinking? You'll never amount to anything. We'll say those things. We'll also say some things to our spouses. We use this phrase all the time. You never and you always, don't we? I don't have time for you. You're such an idiot. You're useless. Why can't you be more like my mother? No, don't say that, okay? That's a bad one. Don't say that. That's a bad one. Just word of advice, guys. Don't ever say that, all right? Don't ever say it. They're sticky words, aren't they? Those are words that can stay with someone for years. And I used that verse earlier, the Proverbs 18 verse, talking about the power of the tongue, but I cut it off halfway. Look what the rest of this verse says. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What does that mean? It says that you will eat the fruit of your words. There are consequences to your words. Some of us have been building up trust and honesty and love in relationships, and we can just destroy it with a word. There's consequences to the things we have to say. Somebody asked this, do your words need to change? And maybe let me get a little bit more practical. Does your attitude behind those words need to change? The truth is, real communication is not what you say, it's what is received, you know? It's not what you say, it's but what someone who you're speaking to, how they perceive what you say. And many of us, we're just playing games with our words. Our tone and our words don't actually line up. Let's play this, okay? We say this sometimes. Way to go. Or, way to go. Different, right? Bye. Or bye. How many of us are like that? We love to our family, bye. Hang up. You can't have the last word. I just had it. We're just saying bye. It's just a word. But the tone behind that word speaks more than the actual word. Your attitude is everything. Some of us, we love to ask questions we already know the answers to just because we're trying to prove a point. We're passive aggressive. You know what the true colors are? This shows like our true colors is when we switch how we speak to someone based on who they are. So we'll get like an anonymous call on our phone. You know, it's like, this is probably spam or whatever. Be like, hello, how's it going? You know, we're like, oh, I'm great. And then we see that it's our spouse calling or our kid. Like, what? What do you want? You know? What are we doing? They're the people that God has put in our lives. They're the people we would say, we would confess we love them more than anything. And sometimes we treat our family worse than strangers. Does how you speak need to change? Look, this is what James goes on and says in verse 9 and 10. He says, sometimes our tongue, it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Man, isn't that not true? Like sometimes, I mean, we'll be out here worshiping God. Man, that song list that Ryland just laid down in front of us, that was like, man, if there's a jukebox around here, those are the songs I wanted to worship the Lord with today. And we will praise God, and then we'll get in the car and just beat down our spouse or our kid with the things that we say. That's what it's saying right here. Sometimes it praises God, sometimes it curses people. And verse 10 says, and so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. It should not be like this. What James is saying is, this is not Jesus' way, nor should it be our way. If you're a believer in Jesus in this room, that should not be how we act. Your words define you. They speak about you, and you're sending mixed messages, especially the people that you love the most. And so I look at this passage in James, and this is a lot of like, hey, you're doing all this stuff wrong. But the truth is we need to figure out, what is God's fix for this? How are we supposed to fix this? Well, James describes it. In fact, if you noticed, I skipped verses 7 and 8, because we need to go back and look at verse 7 and 8. Look what he says in verse 7 and 8. He said this, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. Is that not true? I mean, we're experts at taming those things, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil. It's full of deadly poison. You can't tame your tongue. In fact, parents, we try to tame our kids' tongue all the time. Anybody ever had their mouth washed out with soap? Anybody? Come on. I had my mom when I was little. I said something. I don't even remember what it was, but I knew immediately I am in trouble. And my mom, we didn't have like a bar of soap. We just had like the hand pump soap. And she's like, get it. And I'm like, are you okay? Okay. And so I remember putting my head over the sink in the kitchen and just like, right? It was terrible. But here's the truth. It didn't fix anything. My language is probably worse than it was when I was that age. I don't know, right? My mom's probably watching this right now. Okay, so, sorry, Mom. You're amazing. You did a great job. Yeah, I'm getting that phone call. But there's a different answer. That's not the answer. He's just making a statement here. That like, no one can tame the tongue. So why are we trying to just fix what's going on in our mouths? Why are we trying to wash our mouths out with soap, right? It doesn't work. There is a different answer. And in fact, he says it later on in verse 13. Here's what he says. Here's how it kind of concludes and ends. He says this, if you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it. Prove it. Prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with this, with the humility that comes from wisdom. Look, if you're a believer in Jesus in this room, if you're listening right now and you're a believer in Christ, James says, prove it. Prove it. Prove it by the things that you say, by changing the way that you speak. Look, there's a wrong way to try to change your tongue, and there's a correct way. The wrong way is we try to just fix our language. We try to wash our mouths out with soap. But if you're taking notes today, you could write this down. Look, the fix for your words is not, it's not a washed mouth, but it's a humble heart. Like that is the actual fix. And that's what James is saying in verse 13. It's not about washing your mouth out with soap. It's about surrendering your heart to the Lord. The answer to a wrecking ball of words that can destroy your family is not a washed out mouth. It's a surrendered heart. You got to fix it. I mean, Jesus says it himself. Look at Luke. Look what he says in Luke. Luke chapter 6 says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. I don't even describe that. That makes sense, right? What you say, not just coming from your mouth, it's coming from your heart. So if you want to change your mouth, you need to change your heart. You need to let God change your heart and work on your heart. It's got to happen. So how do we do that? How do we change our hearts? Well, let's get a little practical with James. I mean, I love James because he gives us solutions. James 1:19, he says, look, you need to be slow to speak. You need to be quick to listen, which means you need to listen first. You need to shut your mouth sometimes and be quiet. And that's great advice for our relationships. We need to, when we're in the middle of situations, maybe we need to take a breath this week. Just take a breath, and before you speak, and think about what's about to come out of your mouth. We need to think about what comes out of our mouth, because we need to realize, also, there's another thing we could do. We need to realize the power of our words. We need to realize, once it comes out of our mouth, man, there's no taking back. So I need to be really careful with wisdom and humility. Think about, what am I about to say? And we need to change some of the things we say. We need to start saying, look, I was wrong to my family. I was wrong. I love you. You're important. You matter. I believe in you. Thank you. I would marry you all over again. That'll change your spouse's day, I'm telling you. I'm sorry. Some of us have a hard time saying that. You're beautiful. I am so proud of you. We need to start saying more of those things, because the truth is, that's Jesus's way. He spoke life into people. I mean, think about this. He literally spoke life into Lazarus, brought him up out of the grave. He spoke life into his apostles, his disciples, as they walked with him. And as he met people who were in need, he spoke life into them. We need to choose to speak life into our families. Your family needs that. Your family needs to see Jesus in you. They need to see, your kids need to see Jesus in you, in the way that you treat them. Not just bringing them to church, but what you say Monday through Saturday and Sunday leaving church, okay? The things that you say are important. They'll change their life. They'll impact their future. Look, the ways that we communicate today is pretty awesome. I mean, it's pretty cool. I can talk to my family on this watch. It's insane compared to how it used to be, you know? But what we actually have to communicate is really all that matters, and especially to your family. And so I want to end with these last two verses, because I think they kind of tie all this up. Jesus has something to say. He says this in Matthew 12. This is kind of a warning. I tell you this. When Jesus says, I tell you this, like, you stop everything, okay? You must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Look, if you're a believer in Jesus, what it means is that you are washed clean. Your sins are washed clean. If you've never trusted in Jesus, I want to invite you to do that. Look, you can't pay for your sins like that. No matter what you do, you will always be dead in your sin. And Jesus came as God. He came down on this earth, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross to pay for your sins. He's the only one that could really be a sacrifice. No one else can sacrifice like that for you, because everybody else is a sinner. And Jesus says that he's a perfect sacrifice, and he got up on the cross and died. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He conquered sin and death for you, and he says, here's all you got to do. You don't have to live a perfect life. All you got to do is trust in me. Let me change your life. Have you done that today? Look, I get it. We're church. Vast majority of us in this room have said yes to that. But the truth is, you still have to give an account for the words that you say. When you come up to heaven someday, we sang a song about that. You're worshiping Jesus, and he's like, hey, buddy, why'd you say that? Answer for that. That scares me, man. We're going to have to give an account for everything that we say. And here's my prayer for you, is that will you be able to say this? Well, I love Psalm 19. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And at the end of the day, when I lay my head on my pillow, I want to be able to say, look, God, may the words of my mouth today, things that I said, how I treated my family, may they be pleasing to you. That's the goal. That's the aim. So how can we do this? Here's a couple things. I think we need to have some crucial conversations in this room. There's some people next to you. You might have been like ribbing them a little bit. That's what we've been going through. You might be kind of sinking down in your chair because you don't want to talk about it. There's some of us, we need to have some crucial conversations when we go home. Maybe in the car. Maybe you need to say, look, I haven't said this in a while, but I'm sorry for the way that I've been treating you and the things that I've been saying. Maybe even more difficult, some of us need to say, that hurt me. What you said, the way you said it. And in love, you need to have a crucial conversation. But you know what? Your family members are not the only people you need to have that conversation with. You also need to have that conversation with God. And I want to give you an opportunity in just a minute to do that. Some of us need to literally get on our knees and just repent of the things that we've said. We need to ask God not to just fix our mouth, but to fix our heart and change the things that we're saying, because God is speaking through you into your family. And the question is God speaking life into them, or is there a condemnation coming out of your mouth? It'll affect the rest of your life. It'll affect the rest of your marriage. It'll affect your kids' life. The things that we say matter. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to end by inviting everybody to stand up. Would you stand with me? I want to give you an opportunity to respond, okay? And here's how I want to invite you to respond. Man, if you're like, hey, God, I need to talk to you for a minute. I need to say I'm sorry. I need to repent. I want to invite you to come down to this front. Look, I'll be the first one down here because I need to deal with the Lord about the things that have come out of my mouth and the way that I have said things. I need to get right with him. And I need to go apologize to my family. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get right with the Lord right now. I'm going to pray. When we finish praying, you come. God, you are good and holy and righteous and perfect, and we are not. We are messed up. I pray, God, for anyone in this room who's never trusted in Jesus, I pray that today might be the day of salvation, that they would say yes to you. They would ask you, God, to forgive them of their sins, and they would put their trust completely and fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would tell somebody about it. Holy Spirit, work in their lives. God, for the vast majority of us in this room, we say we're believers, but the question is, does our mouth, do our thumbs, does our communication back that up? Oh, Lord, help us, forgive us. We repent of those things. Change our hearts, God. Help us to speak life into our families. Help us, Lord, to be honest with you right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Central, we're so glad that you joined us today for Central Online. It's been a great time of worshiping our Savior together as a Central family. Maybe today God has been speaking to you about trusting Him with your whole life and even taking that first step in following Him. Well, we'd love to get to connect with you. You can text the word FORGIVEN to 94,000, and that will get you in touch with our ministry team. And if you just need prayer about something specific, we'd love to be able to come alongside you and pray. So just send an email to prayer@cbcowasso.org. Well, if this message has spoken to you today, why not take a second and share this with a friend or family member that might need to hear it? It's an exciting time to be part of Central as we do our best to live for Christ, to love people, and to make disciples. We'll see you next week.